Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another fantastic live episode of Dream Business Radio. I'm your host, Captain Jim Palmer, the dream business coach, coming to you today from West Virginia. We're just outside of New River Gorge National Park, if you happen to know where that is. This is episode 605. My very special guest is the founder of Profit 911, Justin Miller. Justin, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing good, and kudos of making it to 605. I think my podcast has like 50 episodes over the course of 5 years, so no small feat.
And it's no secret. I'm ending the podcast, which I started, I think, in 2009. I'm ending it end of June. So I guess that'll be 611 or 612. But it's a lot of work. I mean, it's in a way it's not, but it's just one of those building blocks of a great marketing program. Anyway, folks, you're going to love this show. If you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, everybody knows that it's far easier to sell more profitable sales to a previous customer than it is always trying to sell to new customers. And so many small businesses focus so much of their marketing dollars and their efforts on new customer acquisition, when in reality, you know, it reminds me of Dan Kennedy saying a lot of businesses, they get a customer to make a sale, but the smart ones make a sale to get a customer. Let's get that wrong. But you know, when you have a customer relationship, that is an asset. And what I used to say back in the day, Justin and I were just commiserating or reminiscing, I guess. I used to do videos, and I did one where it was called Entrepreneurial Malpractice, where if you don't maximize the profit potential of each and every customer relationship, you are committing entrepreneurial malpractice. A little bit of fun there. Anyway, Justin, in case you don't know, he's the founder and president of Profit 911 Consulting, where he and his team teach entrepreneurs and small business owners what works well in marketing, and just as importantly, what doesn't work, because they have literally done tens of thousands of marketing experiments, and he shares that with his clients. That's why he's done so well. His goal, just like mine has been for the last 23 years, my goal for the last 23 years is to help clients grow their business and make more money and have more free time, or in my language, have a dream business. Justin has appeared on dozens of TV shows and radio stations. He travels internationally and speaks for groups, and also writes for multiple international publications. And today he's coming to us from East Moline, Illinois. And I would say, most importantly for today's discussion, just like me, Justin's a newsletter man. Remember, hey, you're a newspaper man, but no, we're newsletter men. He's a total believer in the value of a good customer newsletter. And the cat's really out of the bag. Justin is also the owner of No Hassle Newsletter. So anyway, Justin, again, welcome to Dream Business Radio. It's really exciting to have you here.
And we're both dinosaurs, you know?
We are dinosaurs. I'm a little bit more of a dinosaur than you are. But anyway, hey, speaking of that, we may be slightly different in age. I'm really getting ready to retire and here drive this motorhome around the country, and I don't have to worry about Wi-Fi anymore. But we've been on similar paths for a long time. I remember meeting you, I'm going to say about 10 years ago, at a GKIC event. I think it was Dinosaur Marketing was kind of your sister company to Profit 911. Do you remember that? By any chance?
So, I mean, we're all in on Jurassic Marketing as a branding thing now.
Oh, Jurassic. Sorry about that.
At that point, you know, Profit 911 would have been the lead on everything. So right now, you know, we're kind of in this weird transition period. But yeah, I was all over the events in the Dan Kennedy, Planet Dan world, and still am.
Yeah.
But we've devolved into direct mail only at this point.
Very good. And yeah, you're one of the leaders in the direct mail market, which makes this kind of marriage so special. Let's dive in and cover some ground for entrepreneurs who might be new, still wondering if a good old paper and ink. And when we talk about newsletter marketing, we're not talking about email, where email is part of your plan. But somebody asked me one time, Jim, they were hearing me speak. I think it was in Houston, Justin. And he goes, how can I get a higher level of deliverability from my newsletters? And I knew he was talking about email. I said, I can get you 100% deliverability, except for maybe the Seinfeld guy who throws it behind his couch. Just do a paper and ink newsletter. Invest in your customers, and it's going to be a hell of a return on investment. But Justin, I'm going to open it up to you. Why are newsletters such an effective marketing tool?
Yeah, I mean, you said it a little bit ago when you said maximizing profits is the entrepreneur's job, right? And that's what we call them, is profit maximizing campaigns. So first off, very few people come to us asking for a newsletter. You know, they hear about us, they hear we do great direct mail, and they come asking for what? A sales letter.
Yep.
Turns out it's usually a heck of a lot easier to get them more profit to start at a newsletter if they haven't already done it. And there's a couple of reasons. You know, one, it's really a sneak attack. You know, you come across as a news entity, or, you know, friendly and not asking all the time and just being part of their life. It has passed along value, which I'll be honest with you, I used to think was crap. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was a lie until we started tracking and recording the phone calls from the phone number on the newsletter and realized that, no, people actually handed this to their friend and they called and scheduled an appointment, which seemed far-fetched to me as a hardcore direct response guy that could happen, but it does. Also, it's kind of funny, since I mentioned tracking, it's down in the weeds a little bit, but also auditing some of those calls. It's amazing how many current clients that should have your phone number saved in their cell phone already or their computer call the tracking number from the newsletter to get a hold of you. So that's some de facto evidence that people engage with newsletters, but I think it's just being part of their life continually. And it's a relationship builder.
And that's really it. Higher profits come from better relationships, and it is a relationship building tool. And one of the challenges that I've had for years is trying to encourage my clients not to put like salesy stuff. It's not like a Sunday brochure in the old Sunday paper. Boy, I'm really dating myself, but it's a relationship building tool. Funny thing is, in my original business, even before No Hassle Newsletters, I was doing a newsletter for a mortgage company, and I was driving it down to him, giving him some extras for handout. And I said, hey, John, just out of curiosity, what's the average repeat cycle for one of your customers? He goes, oh, about every 7 or 8 years. I said, interesting. So why you do the newsletter? Silly question for me to ask. But he goes, Jim, every time I send my newsletter to everybody that I've ever done a mortgage for, I get at least one, mostly two times a month, I get a referral, because people don't remember my name or my phone number. They say it was a good experience, but when I stand in front of them, or, you know, in the mailbox every single month, they remember my name. I stay top of mind. I said, I got to use that in my marketing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the very first business, real business that I owned was a wedding entertainment company. And this was the very first use of newsletters for me as well, was in that company. And, you know, talk about probably not a repeat business industry. You know, we did have some repeats, but that's yep. Other side. You know, we still sent that thing until they disappeared on us, or maybe got mad because they got divorced and reminded them of the wedding. But that was just it. We just wanted referrals from their friends. Like, we knew that they weren't even going to consume the service ever again, in all likelihood. And the math still worked. Like, they're cheap.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, this was somewhere in the 2000s. Stephanie and I refinanced our home and had a really good experience with I said, do you want me to come to your office? No, I'll come to your place. I'll drop off the paper. It was just a great experience. And at least two of my neighbors asked, Jim, who was that guy? I think the market's bottomed out. We're going to refinance our home. And about 60 days later, I couldn't remember. I said, I could get in the car and drive you to his office, but I can't remember his name. And I said, I got to get him doing a newsletter. So it really is about staying top of mind. What do you see, Justin, as some of the essential ingredients of a good, and I like to call them a friendly customer newsletter?
Yeah. Oh, number one, it has to be fun. And this is probably the biggest sin of people creating their own newsletters. They don't make it fun. They want to educate, explain like details of what they do. Like the mortgage lender, you know, I'm going to explain what the rates are right now and the process of closing your loan. And that's probably not what you would do if you met someone at an athletic event or were hanging out with them for dinner with their spouse or something. So that may have a spot in the newsletter, but it's not what it's about. We need some fun stuff. So it needs to be interactive, fun. We have jokes in the templates we use and for our clients. Mm-hmm. you know, we'll have Sudoku or a crossword or something interactive that they engage with on paper, which you can't replicate via email.
Right.
Could in theory with a tablet, but it just doesn't happen. Has to be consistent, which we'll talk about more, I know, in a minute. Has to be on brand. So here's another thing that I had to learn over time, you know, coming from the like super hardcore direct response. Like, it needs to match the image of everything else you do, because the consistency and the build of trust, they have to be able to see it's you. And, you know, people coming from your No Hassle newsletter, since we acquired it, you know, they'll see it, like, we rebranded over to our dinosaur theme because it's us, and you can see that it's us. And then the final thing, which is actually the first thing, is it has to be personal. And this is hard for some people. Like, I suggest the lead article is a personal thing about your life, family, sporting, hobby, something nothing to do with business. And it's hard for people to think about that. And I promise them it's only like two short paragraphs. Like, it takes 5 minutes. I'll be honest, the way I come up with mine is I go back to Facebook, which is my social media of choice, and look 100%. Through the last month and see what was, you know, what did I do and what was interesting and got engagement. And then I kind of write about that and put a picture in. But that honestly is the most important thing in the whole dang newsletter. The rest is, I hate to say it, it's filler content. Like, it has value, it has its place, but it's nowhere near as important as personal.
That's right, because they want to know a little bit more about you. I mean, there's sometimes we do business at an arm's length. One of my clients who I helped get a newsletter going is in the boating business of all things. He actually took care of my boat up and down the coast. And they started a newsletter, and so they have tips on, you know, why you want to get your prop service, this, that, and the other thing. But the thing that gets them the most comments is the Friday drink recipe, Docktails, as it's called. But they said, what about that? And I said, it means they're reading it and they're seeing your name every Friday. And it's awesome. And you're sharing some tips. It's the greatest thing. So let's talk about consistency. You brought that up. What do you think is, how important is consistency, and what does that mean?
Yeah. So let's start with the cycle, which is the tactical part. You know, to me, that is monthly, calendar month without fail. Now, I don't care when in the month it's sent, as long as it's consistent. But I think that's kind of the minimum to build trust and realize it's consistent. If you send like every 2 months, it appears random, which doesn't help with that trust factor. Also, the format should be the same. It should be consistent as far as that goes. But really, that's what builds that magic. And a lot of it, again, direct response in me hates to say top of mind awareness, but that's what we're doing. It clicked when I understood why that mattered. And it has to do with irregular sales cycle or long lead time on a sales cycle. You know, oftentimes in my world and other world, people become acquainted with us. They meet us, but we don't actually do business together for 6, 12, 18, 24 months. And this piece fills the gap in building that relationship during that time, so that when something changes, they don't have to hunt for us. Like you said, they forget about you otherwise. And that's no one's fault except for you as the business owner, if you care about getting that business. And there's no cheaper way that I know to stay in contact other than email, but it's hard to build a relationship via email.
One of the questions I used to get all the time on consistency is, what's the best time to mail the newsletter? I'm curious what you think, but I always told people it doesn't matter at what point, but if you mail your newsletter on the 1st or the 10th, or the 27th of the month, make that your mail date. In other words, make it part of your program that your newsletter mails, and therefore, hopefully, postal service notwithstanding, arrives the same 1 or 2 day period every single month. Because as you said, consistency is more than just doing it every month. But Bill Glazer used to talk about your A pile of mail and B pile. A pile, like your bills, mortgage, insurance, all that important stuff. Magazines you subscribe to, they come on a specific day, pretty much clockwork, and things that arrive sporadically are typically called junk mail. So I said, it costs you nothing if you send your newsletter out almost the same day, literally every month. It will have an automatically higher perceived value. Do you agree?
And the recipient's not like sitting around auditing you, but they can sense if you're like, it's 3 weeks between 1 month and 7 weeks between the next. You know, they'll get the feeling that this is not quite what's going on. There's another reason too, and it has to do more with you mailing the newsletter, and that has to be with, we're entrepreneurs, we're business owners, we're busy. And if you don't have that set content schedule, it's going to get pushed back, because this is not something that someone's going to harass you about if you aren't sending it. But you also will not reap the rewards of doing so.
What are some of the things? So the lead, I don't know if you call it a lead article, but you want to have something about yourself, and you want to have the filler, which I call Reader's Digest stuff. And back when I, back in the day when I was speaking all over the place, I know Craig Boleyn's on here. He spoke at his place like twice. But, you know, people question that kind of content. Reader's Digest, I don't know about today. I don't even know if it's still around, but it was the most subscribed to magazine. And it was literally front to cover, just anonymous, not anonymous, but assorted little factoids and stuff and interesting things. And that's, that was a big thing for me. The other thing which I like to share, not too much in a hard hitting business manner, but telling your customers what else you do. And the story I would usually share is, like, if somebody comes and they buys one of your products and they have a good experience, maybe they even do repeat business, come back and blah, blah, but they don't know about all the 10 or 12 or 52 other things that you have in your business. So, you know, by sharing some of those things in some kind of a success story, it tells people who know you, for one thing, that you can do all these other things.
Yeah. And on that point real quick, you know, that was a struggle when Profit 911 had digital marketing and direct mail services. And we had to send a whole dang catalog to get that point across. And still, you know, we had clients of 3 years that, like, didn't know we did X. And you don't want to confuse them with that. So the newsletter is a good spot to just kind of highlight, let them draw their own conclusions. Like you said, if you can do a case study or talk about a client using a service, even better, because it's not salesy. But that is a key factor I think a lot of people forget, is that just because we know what we do, others don't.
That's right. Do you do freestanding inserts? Is that part of your direct mail business? Do you do them with the newsletters? I'm sure it's part of your direct mail, but what do you think about freestanding inserts?
Yeah, so freestanding insert in a newsletter has a unique ability to advertise that the rest doesn't. So if you want to run a blatant advertisement, a promotion, something with a price, I believe you are best served to have that look feel different than the newsletter and not mess with the integrity of the relationship building.
Right.
So that would be an insert smack in the middle. You do whatever you want there. It comes across an advertisement, and that's fine, and it has its place, and it will be effective, by the way. I don't like that taking up content space in the rest of the newsletter. It just seems that that's been the winning formula as far as that goes. So we have some clients that consistently every month have one. We have some that just, you know, maybe they have a seasonal promotion or something. And any of that's fine, but I do think you should have that separation, because it doesn't mess around with, you know, the core content. I guess the best analogy I can give is if the newsletter is building relationships for you, you know, the parallel would be like on Facebook, you're putting out content, building relationship, people are getting to know you. Putting an advertisement in that core content would be the equivalent of messaging the friend about the new MLM you're in out of the blue and trying to sign them into the group. That's the feel it has if you screw that up. And we've all been on the receiving end of that, I think. So that's where emphasize good.
Yeah, I think humor is also very important. Of course, I consider myself a humorous person. I guess I'm not very serious most of the time, but I think if it allows your personality to come through, and again, look, we're talking about entrepreneurial companies. If you're a CEO of a major corporation, you're probably not doing this anyway, even though you should, you're probably sticking to some ridiculous piece. But for entrepreneurial companies, small business owners and things like that, let them know a little bit about you. You know, part of my story, which I know I've told it in my book and from the stage, when I discovered the power of newsletter marketing, I was 21 years old and managing a bicycle store. And the first, this is back when Lycra shorts with a padded crotch were brand new. Today, they're like, you can wear them down the street, nobody cares. But it was like, what the hell is he wearing? But it allowed you to write. And so I talked about the cycle shorts, and the headline I came up with, how I ride 4 hours instead of 40 minutes without a sore butt. And that was like the headline, and people read it, and people started coming in. Show me the shorts that I can ride 4 hours, right? It was like a secret. And then they started buying the shorts, and I went, wow, that's pretty crazy. The newsletter, it was a 2-page black and white on a typewriter. This is pre-computer. And I mailed it out to about 800 people, and it started selling these shorts. And so I started doing it again. I did it every month and focused on something else, but I always tried to put a little bit of a humorous spin on it. So
Yeah, look, like, people that get the newsletter, I bet half of them or more throw it away. And that's fine. Like, it still served its reminder purpose. But the ones that are reading it, like, they're not, like, reading it for hard-hitting journalistic content.
Right.
they want to be entertained, and they should be able to get through the newsletter in, like, 5 minutes, feel entertained, have that good emotion tied to you and your business. And that's what it's about. And, you know, with our Jurassic marketing brand, like, we keep pushing that boundary further. You know, it was kind of an accident. I don't have time for the origin story of it now, but it has clicked so much with people. And I keep asking people, okay, have we taken it too far? Is it too cutesy now? Is it drawing away from? And no, like, they dig it. They love it. They keep mentioning it, and it has a life of its own. So, yeah, put personality in there. I mean, don't, like, make up fake stuff, but
yeah,
go with what you got and what's of interest to you.
Justin, what do you say when we have a new customer? And, of course, everybody, you know, the cheap and easy way is to broadcast an email newsletter.
Yeah.
I used to tell people, look, if you've got 1,000 people in your email list and you send them your newsletter, if you're a rock star at deliverability, et cetera, maybe you're going to get 100 people, 900 people, 900 of your customers aren't going to hear from you. But if you spend $1 a customer, whatever it is, depending on if you're doing color or whatever, they're all going to hear from you. I'm sure you get that question even in direct mail, right? So
yeah, I mean, my response, you know, they're always looking for the best way, right? My response really is, you know, it's do both. Like, it's not a replacement, right? Like, the email newsletter still has its place. It's a different format. It still has its place. I came from the digital side and the Infusionsoft and Keep side and multi-channel follow-up. So ideally, you're doing all of them and they're helping each other and they're lifting each other. But at the end of the day, if I have to pick one, which those that are on my email list know, like, the email's kind of sporadic, the mail, the newsletter gets out. I'm going newsletter every time because, you know, we get more time. You know, the email delete is so quick and easy and, like, no emotion felt. Like, the throwing away of the newsletter, if that's what you choose to do, we still got more time to get the message across and be in their world. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you have to be okay with some of it going in the garbage. So you got to drop the ego thinking everyone's going to read every word every month.
Yeah, it's not about
your good ones are going to read the personal interest feature story and maybe a comic or two. And that's all we care about.
What's your advice when somebody says, well, who should I send it to? Whether I've got 200 customers or I've got 2,000 customers. And they say, well, how many people should I send it to? What's your answer?
Yeah, so we got to remember the core purpose of this is relationship building. So the first step is only people that know who we are.
Okay.
Some people hear newsletter and they're like, great, I'm going to send this out cold. And that you're just throwing away money. We'll print it for you, but you're throwing away money. So people that know about you, people that are past clients. Now, you may have to do like an A-B determination if you've never done this or a time span. So if I've ignored my past clients for 2 years, yeah, maybe I'm cutting them off there. But you're going to look at the math. You're going to say, okay, if I send this out to everyone, you know, how many have to reactivate? So, Jim, we went back to your list. Like, you know, you've been in business a long time, and we purchased No Hassle newsletters. And we're like, okay, I bet there's some people here waiting to be reactivated, you know. The math works such that, no, they're all getting a letter, you know, like
100%,
not a lot of money at the end of the day for someone that already has exposure to you. So that's the key. They had exposure to you. They're still able to refer or use your service to the best of your knowledge. That's the only requirement. And then it's looking at actual numbers. So figure a person on the list is somewhere between $10 and $20 a year to mail to for the entire year.
Yeah.
What's that look like? So in the wedding business, what that looked like was each person on the list had to use or refer someone every 40 years to be profitable. It doesn't get better than that math.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. Somebody would ask me, well, Bob, they'd ask me that question. And I'd say, well, if they know who you are, in fact, if they're a previous customer, I mail them all. It's kind of like the dentist will, you know, only brush the teeth you want to keep, right? If they're on the list and they know who I am, I mail them until they buy, until they die, or until they politely ask to be removed. Because customer reactivation is a real business strategy that I think a lot of people just let go. So I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
so
I mean, in the scheme of things, it's so cheap, right? Like you and I were talking about trade shows because Profit 911 does a fair amount of trade shows. And one last November we did, our all-in cost to do the show was $29,000, which depending on what industry you're in, it may be expensive, it may be cheap. But oh my God, that's a lot of newsletters we can send for that.
Yes.
Because opening the new doors is a lot more expensive than reopening the closed ones.
100%. So we got about 5 minutes left. Justin, I'm telling you, I'm so proud that you've been, you've been a client, a friend for a long time, but I, you know, it's like my flagship operation, my, you know, it's not my first business, but it's probably my largest one, not counting the coaching. So I'm really glad it's under great leadership. You're going to continue with the trend. Is there anything you want to share?
Well, I know look, we didn't want to see it die, right? Like we were a customer of it, and it is very similar to what we already provided for clients of ours. So No Hassle Newsletters was a great fit for Jurassic Marketing. We will continue evolving the service. Hopefully you see even better service here. You know, we have a team to my right here of like, you know, 12 employees and a print shop in-house. So it's a little bit different looking behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And we're able to see that product through all the way to the point it's put into USPS's hands. So, I expect great things out of No Hassle Newsletters going forward. It's one of our services, and you know we're all about direct mail, so it makes sense.
Well, it's a perfect fit, and again, I'm thrilled that this happened. So, folks, Justin, obviously you own NoHassleNewsletters.com. That's been rebranded, a lot of the same information, but Profit911.biz, I believe, is your other website. If people want to connect with you, learn more, maybe re-up or whatever, what's the mechanism for that? How do you want them to connect with you?
Yeah, you can go to Profit911.biz and use the contact form or No Hassle Newsletters. At the time we're broadcasting this, and if you're watching a recording, it's under construction. But the contact form should at least work.
Okay. Hopefully.
So you can reach out. If you are a current client of No Hassle Newsletters, you can expect some personal contact here in the coming weeks. So don't worry about that. We haven't forgotten about you. And if you have questions about other direct mail services, you know, feel free to reach out as well. The funny part is newsletters was the first piece of the puzzle that we always sold. You know, I believe it's the most foundational, most predictable for an ROI direct mail there is.
It's an amazing tool. It's one of those ones that's so old. You know, it's not, it doesn't predate the printing press for obvious reasons, but it's like, it never changes. It's people love to get it. I used to tell people would my customers would tell me, Jim, I just read it on the plane, which you could do with your laptop, but here comes a newsletter on your desk and he puts it in the briefcase and the guy goes on a trip and he's reading your newsletter. So that, you know, the portability and they do get passed around. I remember you mentioned that earlier. So anyway, folks, get yourself a friendly customer newsletter, paper and ink, spend a little money, invest in your business. Solely focused on new customer acquisition is not the way to go. You want to re-energize your customer base. And I want to thank Justin Miller for coming on today and bouncing around. And Justin, I wish you all good things. And folks, I'm not going anywhere quite yet, but reach out to Justin, reach out to me. And again, as Justin said, if you are a member of No Hassle Newsletters, you're going to be hearing from him and his team. You know, in the coming days and weeks. But Justin, thank you so much, man. It was a great pleasure having you on Dream Business Radio.
Appreciate it.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special interview with Justin Miller. He is the founder of Profit 911 and the new owner of No Hassle Newsletters, and I'm very, very thrilled about that. You can connect with me at getjimpalmer.com, but that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview. I'm Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach, and you take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.